When we first moved to town here, I joined a men's rec hockey league. And every Sunday night, we would hit the ice. And I was a part of this league for the first maybe 5-6 years we were here until I got hit in the head with a stick and got a minor concussion, I think. And then the whole world blew up with COVID. But I kind of digress, okay? I thoroughly enjoyed getting to play in this men's league. And we must have played as a team, you know, well over 100 games. Lots of fond memories. A few of the guys in this room were on that team. One memory in particular sticks out to me, though, and it was an exhibition game that we played. Now, most of our team was relatively young. I was, I think, probably the second oldest guy on the team at that point, kind of in my mid-late 30s. And most of the guys were kind of like young 20s, mid-20s on this team. And we were playing an exhibition game against another team from a separate men's rec league in town. And it was this old-timers group. And these guys were old. Like I'm talking old. Like they were like 40, 45, maybe. We were playing against this group of guys, and we were sure as we went into this game that we were just gonna like mop them up, right? Like we easily had average 15 to 20 years on all of them. We were younger, we were faster, we were stronger. And we went into that game, and I don't know if you've ever heard the cliche statement, but I can't think of many more times where it would be true. Teamwork makes the dream work. We went into this game sure that we were gonna just, you know, mop the floor with these old guys. And yes, make no mistake, we were faster. They were slow. Make no mistake, we were younger. They definitely were so old in their 40s. But these guys, as slow as they would move around, they move slow, but if you've ever played hockey, you know that no matter how quick you are, you cannot skate faster than a pass. And they just, they passed it from tip to tip. Like a laser beam, they knew exactly where each other were as they went at turtle pace. And they made us look like a bunch of peewees. Like they mopped the floor with us because teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork makes the dream work. Today, we are in our second week in this little start of the year teaching series called Made to Multiply. Made to Multiply. And we talked last week, we started out with thinking about multiplication from an individual perspective. How we each who have met Jesus are called to just go to those around us in our lives and say, hey, look at what Jesus has done in my life. And to tell people about that. This week, we're going to go kind of a step out from there. We're talking multiplication, spiritual multiplication in our community here, and we're talking about doing this together because it's not just on the ice that teamwork makes the dream work, but it is true in our lives, and it is true when it comes to spiritual multiplication. And that's what we're going to see coming out of God's Word today. So I invite you to grab your Bibles out and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 42 to 47 this morning from this section of God's Word. It begins, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. This is a snapshot of the church in its very early days. Just a few days before what we're looking at here, Jesus, risen Jesus, has ascended into heaven. The pouring out from heaven of God's Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost, and the church has just been birthed. And I love how we see here in that last verse that we read, there's multiplication happening. It says the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Every day, new people are coming to give their lives to God by faith in Jesus Christ. And we see this has some amazing teamwork going on within it. And in fact, I want to highlight for us this morning four things that the church was doing together as a group, as a community, as a team that were a part of their multiplication. We see devotion, we see awe, we see generosity, and we're going to see worship. So first of all, they were devoted together. Verse 42, it says there, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This group all together were devoted. They were earnest and committed. This was not a group that was just sort of mailing in their faith. These were not people who were just resting on their get out of jail free cards and cruising their way into heaven. These were people, this was a group of men and women, young and old, who were hungry, who were engaged, who were passionate, and who were devoted to God. We see here, they were devoted to the teaching of the apostles, to hearing the word of God proclaimed. They marveled and cherished the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ being declared. They were people who were devoted to meaningful soul-to-soul relationships together. That's what fellowship means. It's soul-to-soul speaking into each other's lives, spurring each other on, strengthening each other to know God, to love God, to follow God, to experience deep and real and spiritually transformative relationships. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, which almost surely is referring to the practice of communion, the Lord's Supper that we do each week. They gathered together and they were devoted to remembering by taking the bread and taking the cup, Jesus died for me, for us together. They were devoted to this. And they were devoted to the prayers, to gathering together and calling out to God to express their love and their thankfulness and their need and to confess their sin. They were devoted to these things. And we need to ask ourselves, are we devoted to these things too? Are we passionate about these practices in our midst today? How do we need to grow in devotion? We also see here that they were awestruck together. Verse 43, It says, an awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. This group together is seeing the Holy Spirit moving amongst them. They are seeing God do signs and wonders. It actually says they are seeing many signs and wonders, not just one or two, but the room is just like God is here. There is no rational explanation for what is happening other than from heaven is touching down on earth. I will never forget the day when in university, I witnessed one of my good friends with a broken arm healed instantaneously in front of my eyes. Their arm was in a cast, and in an instant, I was in the room from me to like third row away from Kat, and I saw her healed instantly. She went home and cut her own cast off. And I'll tell you, in that moment, you know what the reaction was? Jaw on the ground, speechless, awe. That's what the church here is experiencing. They're seeing the living God touching down in their midst, and they're in awe. They're speechless. They are awestruck. Which I think prompts us today to ask another question. Are we praying and eagerly anticipating God doing the same thing in our midst? Because the same living God who we are reading about here is alive and present now. Are we seeking his face? Are we awestruck by who he is and what he is doing? We also see here, third, they were generous together. Verse 44, it says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. God was miraculously moving in their midst through signs and wonders, but God was also miraculously moving in their midst, stirring up their hearts to generosity. They are looking around amongst themselves, this baby church, this group of brand new followers of Jesus Christ. They are looking around, and anyone who has need, they're like, oh, you have a need? I'll step in and help you. Oh, you've got something going on? I will fill the void for you. And they're not just like, oh, you have a need for a few bucks. Well, I got a few extra bucks, you know, in back pocket. Here you go. Let me help you out. Although I'm sure that was going on a little bit. They actually says they are selling their possessions so that needs can be met. Meaning they're going and they're like selling their cars and their boats. And there's a story in a couple chapters from here where he sells his property. He sells his property to go and to meet the needs of others that are around. Oh, your family is in need right now. You need help to pay the rent. You don't have enough money to buy food on the table. I will step in and get rid of my stuff so that I can bless and help you. This is radical, sacrificial. This only comes from the Holy Spirit stirring up someone's heart to say, I'm going to give up my stuff to serve you. And it prompts us to ask a question. When we see needs coming up in our midst, are we rushing to meet them? Are we like lined up? Can I help? How can I help? Eager to step in. Are we willing or even taking the step of giving away things we have to fill the need of another around us? Are we radically generous, sacrificially generous? Fourth thing we see here is they were worshiping together. They were devoted together. They were awestruck together. They were generous together, and they worshiped together. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. All together, they gathered in the temple courts by the thousands. They gathered in the temple courts in Jerusalem. And then, not only did they come together to worship, but then they dispersed into homes. 5, 10, 15, 20 people to different homes in smaller groups, where they also gathered to worship, where praise was on their lips about who God is and what he is doing and how he is moving and providing for them. They are singing praise, surely, but praise is not just, worship is not just song. It's not less than song, but it's also the words we speak. It's the posture of our hearts. They are overcome and just oozing with praise to God as they gather. With joy and delight, it's bursting from them. This leads us to ask another set of questions. Are we each leaning into these two spaces? They're available for us. To gather together and then to disperse into small groups in our homes. Both of those are available for every single one of us here. We gather every Sunday. We've got small groups that meet all throughout the week in homes all across our community. Okay, so those are available. First, are we leaning into both of those regularly? But then second, if we are leaning into Sunday morning worship, gathering together on Tuesday night or Wednesday night or whenever it is for your small group in a home, are you going to both of those places with a sense of a bursting heart of worship? Or are you just cruising in? Are you going to those spots overflowing with, like, I just can't hold myself back from talking about how amazing God has been this week? Look at what he's done this week. Look at what he's doing in my life. I just can't wait to sing out with Nate and the team. Or are we cruising, going through the motions? We saw last week that spiritual multiplication includes, on an individual level, this, like, I met Jesus, let me tell you how he's changing my life. It's this one-to-one thing, and that is absolutely true. But what we're seeing here in our text this morning is that spiritual multiplication is not limited to simply one-to-one multiplication, but actually there is a work that God does in his people as we together multiply. As a collective gathering family together, this early church is devoted. Together they are in awe. Together they are exploding with generosity. Together they are delighting in worship. And is it really then any shock at all to find what the final sentence of this text is? And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Is that a shocking statement to say at the end of this? I don't think it's surprising at all. Because what we're seeing in front of us is a contagious community. At this time of year, there's all kinds of contagious stuff going around that you want nothing to do with catching, right? This is the kind of contagious thing, though, that we want to be a part of, that we want to catch. Oh, how I would love to be a part of a community that is seeing the God of the universe at work in their midst like this. Oh, how I would love to be a part of a community where lives are being so transformed that they're coming out like this. Oh, how I would love to be a part of a community where heaven is touching down to earth. I would love to get to be a part of this. This is the contagious kind of community that I want to be in on. Sadly, though, for many, many people, when they hear or think about church, the thoughts that go through their head are something like it's a boring religious routine. Or it's a bunch of backbiting, grumpy gossips. Or it's an out-of-date group of legalists or a group of people with a ton of rules that are just out to ruin your fun. And I get that, to be totally honest with you. Because there are a lot of groups out there and organizations out there that call themselves Christians or call themselves churches, but the reality is those descriptors are pretty accurate. And it's because the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ is not being proclaimed in their midst, and the power of the Holy Spirit is not coming down in their midst. They're just checking off religious boxes of what to do. Religiosity, it doesn't produce the kind of contagious community we're seeing here. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how we get what's going on in here. And so I understand why people want nothing to do with that other stuff. I don't want anything to do with that other stuff either. But what we're seeing here, oh, I would love this. Imagine a church where it was together like we are seeing here in these pages. It's not just a dream. This is what God has designed us for. Teamwork makes the dream work is not just a catchy phrase, brothers and sisters. It is the blueprint God has made for his church. We are made to multiply. We are made to multiply together. So let me ask you, Stephen, right now, take a moment and ask yourself, where do we need to grow as we start into 2025 as a church family here, Bethel Baptist Church? Where do we need to grow? Where do we need the Lord to deepen us? Is it our devotion to the word and to prayer? Is it our awe and getting front row seats to see the hand of God at work? Is it our generosity and sacrificial service and giving? Is it our overflowing in worship? If you were to identify one of those four areas that we see here in the scriptures, say, this is where come to God and say, God, where is it for us that we need to grow? Which one of those would it be? Which one would it be? And let me ask a follow-up question to you. What role might God have for you in bringing about that growth? See, if God is uniquely pressing in upon your heart that need, maybe, just maybe, he is also uniquely stirring that up because he wants to use you to help. Where do we need to grow? We surely do. Where is he calling you as we launch into a new year to be a part of helping to make that growth happen? We are made to multiply, Bethel. We are made to multiply together. The blueprint of God is that we would be this sort of contagious community. But let me take it a step further, because I think the idea of multiplying together is not only what are we here doing and growing as a contagious community that others look and say, I want what they've got. And we get to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how amazing and wonderful he is. But I think there's also an element to this, this multiplying together thing, this teamwork makes the dream work thing that applies to us as we go out from here too. What if we approached disciple making as a team? When we played that hockey game, we thought we were going to clean the clocks of those old timers. And what we saw right in front of us was them living out teamwork makes the dream work. We were faster, we were younger, we were stronger, and yet they went circles around us because they worked as a team. What would it look like if we thought about going out from here and disciple making as a team? Let me give you some examples. Let me paint a picture for us here. I was chatting with Pastor Nick down in Southwest, or Pastor down in Bethel Southwest, as we were preparing, kind of doing the initial preparations for this week's message. We each preached the same sermon series each week, so we were talking, kind of comparing notes, and kind of putting together some thoughts that we were each going to go away with and write up our sermons for this Sunday. And Nick started talking about a restaurant here in town. They live in Glencoe, but they come into town here on occasion. And there's one particular restaurant that they really love to frequent because Emily has some very specific dietary restrictions. So there's not a lot of spots she can go to, but there's this one spot that they fairly regularly go to if they're going to go somewhere to grab a bite to eat. And so Nick's telling me about this and telling me about just some of the conversations that he started having with the workers that are there and the owner that are there and trying to build relationship and having some opportunities to be a witness and to be a light and to point towards Jesus as they're having these interactions. And then all of a sudden, it just dawned on me. I said, wait a second, which restaurant are you talking about again? And then I realized, see, Natalie and I, my wife and I, have been trying to be a light in the midst of our kids' school. Helping our kids be a light to the kids in school and helping to be a light towards their families and to multiply into the community through that. And last summer, we happened to have a pool party at the end of the school year with this whole kind of heart in mind. And we had our kids invite their classmates and their parents to come to our house for this pool party last summer. And a number of them came, and wouldn't you know, all of a sudden it dawns on me as Nick and I are sitting there talking, one of the parents is the owner of this restaurant that Nick is going to. Probably others in this room go to too. I mean, there's not that many restaurants in town, right? See, Nick over here is trying to be a light for Jesus Christ as he walks into this restaurant and has conversations as he orders his meal. And then, totally separate, unknowing, we had no idea about this, Natalie and I are over here having them over to our house for a pool party with their kids and building relationship and trying to be a light here. What if we realized this is not just an individual solo thing, but there is a teamwork that can be happening as we shine for Jesus in our communities? This is one of the ways that living in a small town is really quite crazy and incredible. I mean, I'll give you some other examples of the crisscrossing nature that is possible in our midst. I was on Facebook recently, and I saw a picture from one of you. Actually, one of you posted it with a bunch of you in it. And do you know who else was in the picture? My neighbor. And I was like, I didn't know you all knew each other. I had no idea you all knew each other. And here all of a sudden, I'm thinking about this sermon here, and the thoughts start going through my head. Natalie and I are trying to be a light and a witness and take opportunities to just be an encouragement and a support and offer to pray and have conversations with this family. And had no clue that a bunch of you actually know them. Now I wonder, do a bunch of you know that they're my neighbor? I have no idea. But guess what? Teamwork makes the dream work. We were having another conversation at our elders meeting this week. And one of our elders shares this little story about a neighbor of his who he is interacting with and having some different spiritual conversations and trying to be a light. And then wouldn't you know, there are some of you in this room who were going and doing some work at their house for a completely unrelated thing. No idea of each other, except until after the conversation starts to happen. And those folks that went into the home to do this work at their house, they were so struck by, wow, just the way they carried themselves and some of the conversation or words that were said or whatever, that our elder says, oh yeah, well, they actually go to our church. And the person, Teamwork makes the dream work. What would happen if we each started looking at being a multiplying disciple, not as a solo thing where it's all on my shoulders, but as a team? I think it would do a couple things. First of all, I think it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge for us. Natalie and I were chatting at small group this last week, and she shared this story that I still remember too from over 20 years ago. At a retreat that we were at, we were helping to lead with a ministry we used to work with university students. A student got up at the stage and shared her testimony about how she had come to know Jesus Christ, which is amazing and wonderful and just spectacular, and we were celebrating with this. But then she told another part of her story. She said, I was in university, and one of my roommates, who I lived with for like 3 years through university, was a Christian and never talked about Jesus with me. We lived together for 3 years. They never brought up Jesus. It was a total other person that told me about Christ, and I gave my life to Christ, and then I went home, and this roommate of mine said, oh, that's amazing. I'm so excited. I'm a Christian, and I've been praying for you. And do you know what her response was? Why didn't you say anything for the last 3 years? Why have you been silent? See, there's a challenge here. Teamwork makes the dream work if we are all stepping out in faith and shining for Jesus. But what if you are that roommate sitting in church and your roommate shows up here and is like, wait, what? You go here? I had no idea. There's a challenge to this. But then there's also some incredible encouragement to this. What freedom comes if we were to think about spiritual multiplication not as a solo endeavor, but as teamwork makes the dream work. Because all the pressure isn't on you. It's not my responsibility. I mean, it never was, but sometimes we can start to think this way, right? It's my responsibility as I'm having these interactions with this parent of my kids' friends. Or as I'm having this interaction with my neighbor, or I'm having this interaction with the person at work, or I'm having this interaction, whatever, that I need to go from the beginning, the middle, and the end. I need to walk them through all of it, and I need to be the one to go through the whole journey. Well, here's the freedom, friends. If teamwork makes the dream work, you're just one piece of the puzzle. How freeing that is. To know it's not all on my shoulders. I don't have to go through everything here. I need to listen to the Spirit of God and be faithful for what he opens up at this time. There's so much freedom if we think about this as a team. I also think there is so much power if we think about this as a team. Because the body of Christ is built for teamwork. God has made each one of us in this room with different unique gifts, with a different unique journey, with different unique abilities and a different unique take. I love how, and that's exactly why Paul says in Corinthians, some plant, some water, but it's God who makes it grow. So maybe, just maybe, as part of the team, God has uniquely gifted you to go and exercise the gift of hospitality by bringing a meal to your neighbor. And then maybe, just maybe, God has gifted another one of you to go into a person's house as a tradesman and do a reno on their house, and during lunch you start having conversations with them. And then maybe, just maybe, God has gifted another one of you who is working beside them in the cubicle, and you hear about the hard thing that's going on in their lives, and you say, hey, can I pray for you? And you come alongside and listen. What if that person doesn't just need one picture of the beauty of Jesus Christ, but they need to see a bunch of different angles of who Jesus is and how his body works and how he is gifted and how he moves in people? What if they don't just need one gift that God might have given to you, but they need the hospitality and they need the gift of evangelism and they need the shepherding and they need the gift of mercy? I've heard it said, and I would imagine all of us, whether you can prove this statistically or not, I don't know, but I've heard the statistic, all of us I think would resonate with us, that on average, it takes a person 8 times hearing the good news of Jesus Christ before they give their life to Christ. 8 different occurrences, 8 different conversations, different people going on. Now, not everybody is that case, but I think most of us, it's not one thing with one person at one time that marks us on our spiritual journey. It is walking through this and then this person having a conversation and that person doing this and another person serving in this way and another person stepping in that way and another person praying, because God built his church to be a team. So if that's true, why would we ever approach this as a solo thing? Why would we ever walk out of here trying to do this on our own? What if we were to embrace this whole team approach? What if we not only embrace it, but we start strategically and prayerfully and intentionally leaning into it? What if when you hear about someone who, I don't know, needs a hairdresser or a plumber or a tutor for their kids, you don't just let it go in one ear and out the other? You say, hey, I know a person who can help you. And what if we were to try and intentionally start networking those we're reaching out to and shining and building a relationship with other people who also know Jesus Christ? What if when you're out doing life, we don't just turn Jesus off because we think, well, I'm just at the grocery store or chatting at the end of the road with my neighbor or in my cubicle at work. But we say, teamwork makes the dream work, so I'm even part of the team right now. Holy Spirit, help me shine as a light for Christ. What if we started spurring each other on? What if one of our prayers started to become not only, oh God, would you allow this person whom I love so much to come to understand how beautiful Jesus is, but what if we also started praying, God, would you bring some other people who loved you into their life too? And started before the throne of God to say, teamwork makes the dream work, so we're going to seek you, Lord, for it. Could we see God, by his grace, do something like we're seeing here, day by day, God adding to our numbers those who are being saved? We are made to multiply, Bethel. Teamwork makes the dream work. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the way that it transforms lives. The way that it is transforming each one of our lives. The journey that we are all on. We're all on a journey, and wherever we are, we thank you for how you know us and you see us and you understand. We pray that you would grow us as a community, that we would be a contagious community, that others around us would look and say, I want what they've got, not because we're anything special, but because we've met you, and you are glorious and wonderful. And then we pray too, God, that you would help us to build on these already existing opportunities you're opening up. You've been opening my eyes, even just in the last couple weeks, thinking about this, seeing with fresh eyes the things you're doing and the ways you're moving. I pray that you would help us to see and to pray and to seek you like we are a body, your body, perfectly knit together. A team who you have made to multiply here to shine for you. Oh, pour out your grace and do a mighty thing for your glory, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.